need content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Monday, November 4th, and we're back with you. A new month.
It is a new month. You're right.
New time.
We are in November.
Yeah.
That's scary, man. Time is flying by.
Actually, we're an hour late because if you look outside, it looks like 11, not like 10.
I know.
Right?
I know, but you know what I noticed last night? It was like 5:30 when I looked at the clock and I looked outside and it was completely dark out.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And it's
going
to even get darker.
I know. It's just going to get worse from here on out. That sucks.
I know. To the point where it gets dark at about 4:30, I think.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
a short day. That's a very short day.
It
makes the nights very long, man.
I know.
Maybe we should start coming in at 7 o'clock in the morning. Could you stand?
Funny.
I know. Don't take me seriously.
Mm-mm. I never do.
Yeah.
April Fool's. It's not April.
You're sporting your Bears jersey today.
Of course.
And what's going on with the Bears?
Well, it's
update us.
We got Monday night football tonight.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, it's the last game that we played was against the Redskins, and Cutler got injured, Lance Briggs got injured, I think somebody else might have gotten injured too. I'm not happy, really.
You're not happy.
Yeah,
a lot
so
of people
I don't know how, you know, tonight's game's gonna play out. And of course it's against the friggin' Packers.
Oh, like your favorite,
our
right?
Hugest rivals ever. Like,
then you
I'm
should
just,
enjoy the game, right?
No, because I just don't know how we're going to be able to do. I mean, everybody's injured and broken and battered and torn.
Leave it to them. You don't have to play. Let them figure it out.
I know, but, you know, I'd almost feel better if I was playing.
Yeah.
No, maybe not. Those guys are huge. They'd freaking annihilate me. Yeah. No way.
They would, huh?
Like, can I just be, like, the one person out there with the flag?
Yeah.
Like, can we just have, like, just flag football just for me? Like, nobody can tackle me, but I'll wear, like, the flag?
Yeah.
Everybody else could tackle each other, but if you want to tackle me, just pull my little flag.
Were you ever a cheerleader in school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I started cheerleading when I was pretty young, like first grade or something crazy.
Really? Wow.
Yes, and then I did it in high school, too. Freshman year, I actually made the junior varsity squad.
Wow.
So we got to go to state and everything. There were only a few freshmen that made it, so that was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, it's funny because, like, I told my mom, you know, after that first year, because it just took up so much of my life.
Uh-huh.
I was like, you know, Mom, I'm not going to get a scholarship for being the best cheerleader. So I need to, you know, I need to focus on something more productive.
More respectable.
Like a freshman in high school, I'm like, Mom, this isn't going to get me anywhere.
Yeah.
I need to, like, do something real. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's where my
last
head was at. So yeah, no, after I did it from like first grade all the way up until freshman year high school, and then I stopped it cuz I injured my tailbone. Like over rotated on like a back tuck or something crazy, and
really?
I landed weird, and then I got up weird, and I was in like so much pain like forever.
Wow.
It was awful.
And then
so
you were in a car accident too.
Yeah.
Years
later, but
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
So you're
thanks,
like totally
that's
broken.
Cool. I am. I'm so broken.
Yeah.
I'm like 23 going on like 85. Terrible. But it's okay. You know, my physical therapy places, you know, they do a really good job. So
good.
Slowly but surely, I'm piecing myself back together.
Yeah. Good for you. How was the weekend? Any parties, or should I even ask?
You know, I just feel it's just, you know, because Halloween was on Thursday. Like, I'm just, I'm so thrown off because there's just been so, there's been like so much going on, you know, from Thursday all the way through. I mean, by last night, I was like, I was supposed to go to, you know, I feel bad. I was supposed to go to LP. You know, we had him here on the show.
Right.
His, like, album release party. But it was at a club.
Right.
Like, this crazy club called AV. And I'm thinking, I just can't. Like, I was so exhausted and just so... And that's the thing. I couldn't even find anybody to, like, go with me. Because everybody else was so exhausted from the weekend. I'm like, I don't really want to go alone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how could we make this work? But I'm just... Wow. I couldn't even, like, get out of bed. I was like...
How do you get,
I'm
like, so
done.
Exhausted that you can't go to a club? I mean, what... Did you go, like, to a dozen parties before that or what?
Yeah,
half a dozen?
I mean, just... Yeah, since Thursday. It's just been all, like, you know, parties and... costume parties and so much craziness.
Are you like catching up for lost
time? It's hard for me to, like, you know, keep up because I don't really get, like, you know, like, wasted, you know?
Right,
so I get, like, tired like a normal person, and everybody else is like, yeah, keep going, after party, yeah. And I'm like...
They get energized by the booze.
I'm so ready to go to bed. So I'm just kind of, like, sleepwalking the rest through the rest of the evening. So I'm like... And then the next day, it's like, oh, brunch, let's go, more drinking, like... Okay. But no, it was a very nice weekend for me. My lovely boyfriend took me to a super fancy salon to get my hair cut on Saturday.
Oh wow.
So, yeah.
Did you get it cut? I mean,
I got like a healthy trim, you know, cuz at the bottom, like, you know, as a female, you know, we do so much damage to our hair and it gets all, like, you know, kind of broken up at the bottom. So that's how, like, we keep it nice and healthy is cuz we trim it.
Cool.
And then she gave me a bunch of, like, layers, and of course, like, when she did it, like, I walked out, like, my hair looked immaculate. Of course, it will never look like that again until I, you know, go back to her. But it was called, like, Warren Tracomi or something, and they're, like, the top, you know, one of the top four, like, salons in Los Angeles. And it was it was very fancy. It was very exciting. I've never really had an experience like that. So it was a nice little treat.
I guess. Yeah. I wouldn't appreciate it much being a man and stuff. But
yeah,
I guess,
it's funny, know, because
my haircut takes all of 10 minutes.
It's funny. Well, my boyfriend got his haircut too. So it's like he was done in like 2 seconds. Yeah. He's just like sitting there on the couch. Then he was like, starts like taking pictures of like the process, like the before and after. It was so cute. So I've got like a million photos of like me at this super fancy salon.
Yeah.
But it was very exciting for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, we missed you Friday, but we, you know, I imagined you were relaxing, you were resting, so it was a good thing, you know. I mean, you don't want to work hard after Halloween.
Oh, God. I know, all my, like, crazy makeup and whatever. Although our costumes turned out really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we looked pretty badass. We were matching, like, army, military people.
Oh, wow.
It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Army, military people.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
sounds interesting.
Cool. So, you know. He got to feel like a badass, and I got to feel like a sexy badass.
Oh,
I mean, it was
I
a pretty
see.
Fair compromise, considering I made him be Dear Daniel the Saturday night before Halloween, which is Hello Kitty's boyfriend. So I was Hello Kitty.
Oh, that's Hello
and
Kitty's
he was Dear
boyfriend.
Daniel. Yes. And we actually went to the Sanrio store, and I showed him, like, they sell, like, backpacks of, like, Hello Kitty and Dear Daniel holding hands and, like, laptop covers, and, like, they have all this merchandise, so I wanted to show him it's a real character.
Wow.
And he's like, okay, fine. So, yeah, he was, like, rocking the ears and the tail and everything.
He was
being a really good sport about it. So I said, that was the fair compromise. Like, okay, I will be anything you want on Halloween. So.
Well, that was a good trade.
I think
fair
so.
Fair trade, huh?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Go from being like super fluffy kitties to like army military badasses.
I mean, you could get more like extremes.
Yeah.
You know, that's
funny.
But
it was fun.
That's what Halloween's about, is dressing up like something that you usually are not.
Did you end up doing anything for Halloween in your cow costume? I had to.
Yeah, I guess.
That was the last time bringing it up, I swear.
Okay, thank you. No cow costume.
Okay.
Yeah, no cow costume.
Were there a lot of trick-or-treaters, though? Did you, like, we didn't
get any. No, there aren't. I know. Because you know what happens is in apartment buildings, they can't get in. You know, I mean,
that's
there's like security doors.
True.
So they go to streets with houses and stuff. You know, it's easier. Or to the mall and stuff. You know, the little kids go to the mall.
Oh.
They trick-or-treat there. Yeah, that's all cute. The stores give them candy and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
You well, didn't know that, that, huh? That's a Southern California thing.
No, I didn't.
Thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It's cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So listen, you brought us a couple of very fascinating looking guests. So
yes.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce them to us?
Okay. Awesome. Today in the studio, we have Dustin and Rachel.
Dustin and Rachel, welcome to the show. Do you guys have last names? Do you want to give them out?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I have given last
name. Yeah, mine's Warren.
Dustin Warren.
Yep.
Okay, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
A very handsome, muscular guy, we might add. Are you guys friends?
We are. Actually, well, we met through my boyfriend and his girlfriend. So it's like the four of us all kind of like, you know, double date all the time.
Oh, I see. Okay. It's nice. So you guys are very close, I mean, in social life and things like that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. Talk closer to the mic so we can hear you better.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how long ago did you guys meet? You only know each other for not too long, right?
Maybe a couple months
or
so.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
2 months or so.
Wow,
yeah.
That's cool.
But we all spend quite a bit of time together, so it feels like, you know.
Yeah. So you went to the Halloween parties too, I imagine.
Yes.
What were you dressed as? Hello Kitty? I can't see you as Hello Kitty.
No, worse.
Yeah, there were. I went through three different costumes that my girlfriend strategically put together.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Let's see. We started out in. Man, what the heck? What I don't even.
I think it was like the 80s party. So you had the mullet, like crazy wig mullet.
Yeah,
you were
rocking. The Joe Dirt mullet and the white snake cut up T-shirt. You know, that whole business. And then the next night we transitioned into.
Oh, you guys were SWAT team people.
Well, yeah, we did the SWAT team one.
That was
one.
Like your,
that's
like, badass version.
Yeah, like the sexy SWAT team that we did. And then the final one was...
you were an angel.
I was the white angel,
yeah.
and she was the dark angel.
Yeah.
And so it was a first showing up to Katana. I was wearing no shirt. It was just a pair of white wings
pants
attached to my back.
And they, white pants and white
friends,
wings.
Our friends at Katana were like, really? Really, Dustin? Like, Jesus Christ.
But the House of Blues was fun, though.
It was a lot of fun.
Night.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Halloween night.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And so we'll find out more about you and everything in a minute. But let's get to Rachel. Rachel, your last name is Sher.
Yes.
Sure, it's Sher.
Sure.
Yeah. I get that all the time.
Okay.
So normal.
Now, Rachel, so you guys are friends. How did you guys meet?
How did I meet Dustin?
You know what? I have
chemo brain. I don't even remember.
Yeah,
I think somebody introduced us.
Yeah, we met through kind of unfortunate circumstances, but nonetheless,
oh, wow.
Good one.
For a while ago, or is it pretty recent?
It's like a year.
Yeah, just over a year.
A year. Okay, cool. So you guys are pretty good friends, I would imagine, at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
At least
absolutely.
You know each other. So you represent an organization, Rachel.
I do.
So tell us a little bit about it so we can be up to date on what's going on.
Okay, well, the easiest way to tell you... about UCAN is I was diagnosed with terminal leukemia when I was 26.
Wow.
And it was a car accident that saved my life. And everything that I went through from the drug-induced coma they had to put me into because my body did not react well to the first round of chemotherapy, to having to relearn how to walk and how to read and how to write because I couldn't do all that stuff because I was in a coma for over 10 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so how did the accident save your life? I mean, that's...
It was a car accident that I got into, and I had to go to the hospital, and they found bruises all over me, which were huge, like huge purple welt-sized bruises. And, you know, back then I was, like, clumsy. So, like, I'd walk into something, and I'd hit myself, and I just figured the bruises were just that because I didn't feel sick. And... I ended up going to Ventura County Medical Center. They said that I had a 10% chance of surviving.
Really?
Terminal leukemia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I had 11,000 platelets in my body. And, like, your normal platelet count is like 150,000 to 350,000, and mine were like extremely low. So the doctors didn't even know how I was walking. So if I had never gotten into that car accident, I wouldn't be here.
You would have gone to the hospital and diagnosed. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So you see, it's amazing how things turn out in life, huh?
Right.
You never know. You know, I mean, adverse things can actually be good things in disguise. You just don't realize it.
Right.
You know. So, okay, so you were diagnosed with that. So what happened afterwards? Why did they induce coma?
Oh, okay. So when they gave me the first round of chemotherapy, my body went into shock. Fluid went into my lungs and blood went up into my brain. I suffered a hemorrhage in my eye, so they had to put me into a drug-induced coma because they figured that would be the easiest way to treat it. Now, at this point, I was at City of Hope.
Okay. That's a hospital?
City of Hope Medical Center, which is in Duarte, California.
Okay.
And my mom said that they weren't very optimistic of my outcome. I mean, like, nobody, the caseworkers, the doctors, nobody thought that I would survive that because I had so much cancer in my body. But I did.
Right.
I did. And you know, I really think that, like, aside from just prayer and having family and friends there, a lot of it was my attitude.
Right.
Because I was laughing, like, all the time.
Really?
You know, like, I remember the day that the nurse came into my room, and I had my hair back in a ponytail, and I was pulling it out of the ponytail, and all my hair was coming out in clumps.
Wow.
And I was crying. You know, I was really crying about that. And the nurse comes in and she goes, "It's okay, we'll just shave your head." And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, like, sounds better, right?
So, you know, she shaves my head, and then I was like laughing. So, like, everything that I went through at the hospital, I was always finding a way to laugh.
Yeah.
About
and,
it.
And that's what I hear. I mean, the attitude has a lot to do with the recovery and the healing, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So now, but the amazing thing is usually people find out about cancer because they start not feeling well and stuff. But it didn't happen to you, right?
No.
I mean, you got to a point with 10% of survival.
I know.
And you didn't even know you had it.
Wow. Like that.
Is it really, huh?
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, growth on the body that you can see or anything, right?
Well, it was the bruises. I mean, the bruises were the biggest sign, but I didn't feel sick. And then I had really bad headaches, which I was taking Advil for, and Advil's a blood thinner. So I just figured the bruises were bigger because I was on Advil for the headaches. But the headaches could have been a sign for that, too.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Are you originally from L.A.?
No, I'm a New Yorker.
New Yorker? New York City?
Manhattan. Yeah.
Really? You don't get more New York than that, huh?
I know.
Yeah. Did you have a good childhood there in New York? Did you like it?
You know, I grew up part of my life in New York City, and then I moved to California, and my family did a lot of moving back and forth between California and New York.
Really?
Because my stepdad is a comedian.
Oh,
so
okay.
He used to get
bi-coastal.
He used to get jobs, you know, for Arsenio Hall and then Jay Leno, and then we'd move back and forth between the states so that he could do his jobs. But I've been living in California since I was 12. Now I'm 33.
Wow, so you've been here for a while. You're definitely a native.
Yeah. I don't call myself that.
She's adapted pretty well.
I'm always a New Yorker.
I guess that's true. It's always in the blood.
Yeah.
You know?
Wherever you were born, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way it goes. That'll always be like home.
East Coast attitude.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I know. We have a lot of New Yorkers in L.A. You know?
I know.
Yeah, a lot of New Yorkers. And
They let you know.
Yeah.
They let you know. They're not hard to find. They're always talking about it.
Yeah.
That is true.
Now, how about you, Dustin? Are you from here, from L.A.?
Yeah, born and raised in Thousand Oaks, California.
Yeah, he's a native.
Yeah, my mom and dad, they were living in Idaho with their families as, you know, in their teens when they met, and they moved to Thousand Oaks, in fact, was their first stop, where they had some friends that, you know, had settled out here, and they moved in 1980-81.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Then I was born in 81.
And you were born then?
Yeah.
Okay.
At Los Robles Hospital. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So, for those who don't know, Thousand Oaks is like a suburb outside of Los Angeles. Very beautiful, great. It's safe too, right, for families?
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
a wonderful
that, right?
place to go.
It really is. Yeah, it's a little drive. I mean, for you, but don't you? You don't mind?
Well, I
it,
now.
Huh?
I 3 months ago, my girlfriend and I moved in together, and she lived in West Hollywood here.
Oh wow, so, that's a drive.
Yeah, and so while I was making the drive, you know, previous to that, and it, you know, it was taxing. So and the relationship was just heading in a wonderful direction. So it. It worked better for me to move this way.
Right.
Her job is further south for her.
Right.
Mine is, it's kind of work from home, work from anywhere.
Oh,
and,
cool.
So it gives me that flexibility. You know, it's made a little bit trying or a little more work to pay. I have 2 children with my ex-wife.
Oh, you do?
Two ones, yeah. And
oh,
so I still make the drive and my family and, you know, lots of friends.
Yeah.
There, so.
Wow. You seem pretty young, so you already have 2 children.
Yes.
How long ago did you get divorced?
It's been 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Okay.
I was married. We got my ex-wife and I were married at I was 19.
Wow. Yeah,
she's just a turn 19.
Really? Why is that? Did you get pregnant at the time?
No.
Really? You just wanted to?
Yeah, I was shopping for a pair of shoes at the Oaks Mall and went in and met you know a good-looking girl that was the manager of the shoe store and asked her on a date and a year or so later, I was married to her.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very traditional.
And you're not sure how it ended up that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was very traditional process, and everything just worked. And, you know, and then, unfortunately, things, you know, we kind of grew apart, and things just didn't
Yeah, because it's too young. I mean, you don't even know who you
are
yet at 19.
Very, very different people.
Right.
We're very different people. She's a wonderful person and wonderful mother, but we're just
But you grow apart. Yeah, you realize, I think as you grow older and stuff, you also... you know, I mean, especially at that age, you know, you start really developing into an adult and you might not be the same people as you were when you met, you know.
Yeah, I'm certainly not.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what you would say.
How long were you married for?
8 years. Yeah, I guess it would be about
Okay, so you give it a chance. I mean, you guys, it's usually the 7 year itch, you know, 7-8 years, man. It happened to me too. But, yeah, so, well, that's cool. So you guys met now, and so you moved to West Hollywood as well now, right?
Yeah, I've been here, let's see, just about 3 months. And,
okay.
So quite a change from living in suburbia, to live in the big city. I mean, it's a place I used to just dread. I'd come here and go, oh, it was fun to party there last night, but I sure as hell want to get back home.
Yeah.
Glad I don't live there. And now I actually love it. I don't think I could ever move back.
Really?
Everything's
you guys live on a great street, though.
It
like,
is.
You have, like,
it's a
nice
wonderful
like, it's like a super cute house, like a good street. Yeah. Like, you don't feel like you're, like, in, like, the city, you know? It's
yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you're steps away from all the hobos and all the crazy people on Melrose, but, you know, you're also, there's Whole Foods right around the corner, too, and my CrossFit gym. So I'm good.
That's good. There you go. You do CrossFit, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not
it.
Surprised. My son does the same thing, man. He looks so buff, I can't even tell you. The stuff that they do and that you guys do, I mean, it's really rigorous. I mean, it's not just any exercise.
Yeah, no, it's taxing on all, you know, parts of your body inside and out.
Wow.
You know, from mental to physical to your cardiovascular system to, you know, to just your the skin on your hands coming off. I mean, it's like every little part of all my friends, you know, they go, why do you do that? What do you need to be able to throw a tire over a 20-foot chain link fence?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, I just want to know I can do it.
Right, exactly. That's the mental part of it, I think, you know. You challenge yourself and, you know, you're competitive with other people and stuff. So it's, how long have you been doing it now?
About 13 months, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, great results, huh? I mean, were you buff before that, too?
I worked out at the gym, Gold's Gym. I went there, you know, just 5 days a week or whatever, did my normal 45-minute, one-hour workout.
Okay,
and
cool.
And so, you know, you could put on size like that, but
right.
I was not flexible. I couldn't run at all. Oh,
really?
Jesus, yeah. You want to... You know, you could just rob me blind and run off, and it's like I'd be, you know, the first like 20 feet, I'd be right on you, but then you're gone. You know, I'm like, So I've actually lost weight. I'm not as bulky, and I just feel better. And you,
right?
I like the process.
And you,
as Rachel's squeezing my arm.
Well, she's admiring the muscles.
She's
yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. Rachel, have you always admired muscles on men?
I think it's just Dustin.
Oh, God.
Just Dustin. She likes your muscles specifically.
Oh, didn't I do that to you the first time I met you? Wasn't I like, oh, my God, your muscles are so big?
Good thing Tina's on an airplane to New York right
now. She knows. It's all good.
Oh, boy.
So how did you guys meet? How did that happen?
About 4.5 years ago, I had somewhat of a similar situation to Rachel, in that it's about the time period I was going through the divorce. Mm-hmm. A lot of stress, you know, in life, business stress from, you know, the economy and so on and so forth for the businesses that I owned at the time. And with all of that, I had gotten quite sick. I was throwing up. I was in Havasu partying. That probably didn't help. So, you know, 110 degree heat and drinking like ridiculously. And so I start throwing up, and it's, you know, it's discolored. It doesn't look right. So ultimately, wow. I'm running out of it. I just don't feel I have any energy. Go to the hospital. I'll condense the story quite a bit. And what I've been throwing up was blood, except wow. when it's digested, it's not red. Right. So I end up in the ER. I can barely stand. And essentially, they tell me that two-thirds of the blood in my body is gone. Like, red blood is gone. They said, and I'm there with a friend that brought me to the hospital, and he looked at him, and because I was kind of in and out and at that point, and he said, you know, you need to call his family. He likely will not last through the end of the day.
Wow.
And so at that point, they had deciphered that there was clearly some bleeding internally. They found that there were ulcers in my duodenum, which uh-huh. is like a pouch in your digestive tract, the way I understand it, and you'll develop ulcers there from stress is what commonly happens in that case, I guess. Wow. And so after a few days in the ICU, I'm still not, I'm a little bit better because of the care that I'm getting through hydration and drugs that promote cell growth and so forth, but I'm not getting any better, and they're finding a very high white cell blood count, extremely high, abnormally wow. high. And so they bring in a hematologist, and through testing, they ultimately diagnosed me about a week later with chronic myeloid leukemia, which is a very rare form of leukemia.
Wow.
And so in any event, it was kind of something else that brought me, and so I was very fortunate in one way
yeah.
to find it, because, and as Rachel explained earlier, it's one of those things that it's like a silent killer.
You know, yeah.
It's just
yeah, you
essentially
don't know.
Deteriorating you from right. the inside out.
Right.
Right. And so they were able to start treating me with the chemotherapy drug that I still take today and will always have to take, or hopefully will be able to take. And that got me, let's see, after, you know, a pretty rough year and a half of, like, in that intense recovery process, feeling better. And I see, I'm on Facebook, and through a friend of ours, I see he's promoting some shirts. He has a T-shirt line for charity for a cancer nonprofit
right.
Charity. Yeah, our friend Nathan Martell. And I reached out to Rachel wondering, you know, I'm like, I'm feeling good and things are going good for me. I want to try and do something, you know, and help others. And so that's when I think I picked up the phone and rang you, and then I came over to your office.
And then we hung out.
That's, yeah. that's where things started, you know.
Really?
Yeah, so the friendship developed. And
So you discovered her organization, and is that how it happened?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook through our mutual friend had posted pictures.
He made really cool shirts. They said cancer is stupid.
Yeah.
And he was selling them to raise money for UCAN.
Right.
And like a portion of the sales went to us, which mm-hmm. was really, really cool. And that's how we got connected.
Wow, you see, there again, you know, Facebook comes to the rescue.
That's very cool.
So, and it's amazing also when you discover you have like a disease or something, how you reach out to other people as well, right?
Right.
Because you don't want to feel alone in this, and then you find out that other people are battling the same thing.
Right. Well, the thing that happens in a lot of cases is a lot of people think that what they're going through is just something that they're going through, that nobody else is experiencing the
right.
same thing. And see, Destin and I, we both had leukemia, but we both had different types of leukemia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His form, CML, that's a chronic form of leukemia, which you can actually have for years and not know that you have it, and then it pops its ugly head.
Right.
The form of leukemia that I had was acute promyelocytic leukemia. Acute forms of leukemia are more aggressive and faster. So I had already had the disease for 2 or 3 months, and I was already at the final stage of it when they caught it.
Oh, wow. No. So it didn't take very long for it to spread.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know there were so many different forms of leukemia.
There's different forms of leukemia, but there's there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of different cancers. And
right.
one of the first things that I started advocating about after I had leukemia was I found out the leukemia ribbon was orange. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool, I have a leukemia ribbon, you know. And so I was telling people, do you know what my cancer awareness ribbon is? And they were like, pink, you know, because everybody sees
oh,
pink
breast
everywhere.
Cancer, right. Yeah.
And I said, no, it's orange. And so I started talking about the different cancers that were, like, recognized every single month. And so mm-hmm. our cancer is recognized in September with 7 other types of cancer.
Mm.
For the record, I advocate the pink one myself, actually, yeah. just because I love breasts. But orange is a great one, and that's mine as well. So
our ribbons are purple, Destin. That's universal for everybody.
Okay. Purple it is. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, I noticed I have a super cute little bracelet here.
Yeah, she brought us a
and
couple
it's,
bracelets.
Yeah, white and purple. So it's UConn, pay it forward. Yeah. You can.
You know, we get that all the time.
Yeah. She said
because the ribbons kind of look like
it's
they
the,
look like
it's her British alter ego.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
You can. Well, this is cool. So, what are some of the things that you do with the organization?
Okay, so UCAN's primary focus is finding solutions for cancer patients in need. I started that in 2009. And we focus on everything for the cancer patient. We offer gas cards to get to treatment, which are $25 gas cards. We offer customized resources, which are resources based on the need of the patient. So a patient can call us up and say, I've been diagnosed with this form of cancer. I need financial resources or I need transportation help. And then we hook them up with the organizations that offer us. Now, the thing that makes us really different from the other charities is when we provide customized resources, if we don't have it in our database, we try to search it because there's constantly new charities that are coming out that are offering a variety of different services. And the larger organizations seem to only work with the larger organizations when referring patients out to resources. Okay. But we work with nonprofits small to large, nationwide. And so that way we can provide a variety of different organizations nationwide that offer the different services that they're looking for, which right. is what makes us really unique. We have a database of over 1,800 nonprofit organizations nationwide, and the customized resources are offered nationwide as well. And then we also have our fluoride tray program, which is something really interesting that I learned. One of the side effects I had as a result of my cancer treatments, my total body radiation, because I went through leukemia twice. It wasn't just that one time.
Uh-huh.
I obtained remission, and then I relapsed. It was in my spinal fluid. I have a port in my head now to administer chemotherapy. I had a stem cell transplant. So I went through a lot more than just that initial diagnosis. And the chemo and the radiation did a lot of side effects. That's probably one of the biggest things that people don't know about. I have like lymphedema in my legs, which is swelling in my legs because my lymphatic system is destroyed.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I have a herniated disc and degenerative disc disease in my back.
And this is all from the chemicals,
it's from the chemo and radiation treatments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are some treatments, you know, that are worse than others. Some people have, like, I have infertility. I went through early menopause when I was 28. I suffered damage to my brain. I have like permanent scarring on my brain that affect a lot of different things for me. But the biggest thing that I found out was my teeth started falling out.
Wow.
In 2008, after I had total body radiation, after my stem cell transplant, they started falling out.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
What is going on? Why are they falling out? You know? And it wasn't until 2010 that I found out from a dentist that I could have prevented the deterioration of my teeth.
Really?
With fluoride trays.
Wow.
So it's stuff like that. It's the little things mm-hmm. that, you know, oncologists and nurses are not telling patients
right.
that UCAN really focuses on providing that information to them. So I found out about fluoride trays. $200 fluoride trays.
Mm-hmm.
Could have saved me $25,000 worth of damage that I have in my mouth that I can't afford to fix.
Wow.
I've had 8 teeth extracted.
Wow.
I have no molars like no functional molars.
Wow.
And that's crazy. I'm only 33. I shouldn't be going through that
so
stuff.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, you must ask yourself, well, why the hell is all this happening to me?
No, because everything happens for a reason.
Right.
I'm a strong believer that everything happens for a reason. And
so what's the reason here?
The reason is I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm going through all this stuff because I have become an advocate for patients.
Right. So you're helping out people.
So I'm helping other people. And right. The craziest story that I could tell you about that was in 2009, I was sitting at lunch with my mom, and I said, Mom, UCAN is going to be greater than myself.
Right.
That's when I first started it, right? Yeah. And I was telling her about all the programs and all the different things I wanted to do with UCAN, and she started crying, and I said, why are you crying? And she said, because when you were dying in the hospital, and everyone at City of Hope is telling us there was no way you were going to survive it, that you were so far gone, and I prayed to God and said, please save my daughter. God said your daughter will help more people than there are stars in the sky.
Wow.
And wow. I see it every day with the patients that we work with. I mean, like, we have really great stories about people who have reached out for help to us, and we've helped them in amazing ways, and it's so rewarding. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. So, Dustin, are you involved with the organization as well?
As much as I've been able to.
Right.
The there's a lot of facets to it. Some of the things, you know, and trying to raise money is always one of the things that you know that's key to the success of a nonprofit.
Right.
But there's really unique things that Rachel and you can do, and to me, they're the things that no one probably ever thinks about when you think of, you know, someone that's going through the chemotherapy process or other processes, depending on the type of cancer that you have.
Right.
Such as, like, getting to your appointments. Not everybody had great family like Rachel and I to support and to help.
That's true, yeah.
Friends surrounding you that could go with you to the appointment, because you go there feeling okay, and then you leave really sick.
Right.
And you know, you got to get there and give it. There's a lot of people that, you know, they're trying to deal with the financial ramifications of the cost of treatment per se.
That's true.
Maybe they're not able to work anymore.
Right. So it's all those details we don't think about, huh?
So it's simple things like getting to your appointments or somebody going to get the medication that you need from the pharmacy. Not everyone has, you know, the help and the support.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that just simply don't, and or maybe they have the support, they have it in one way, but they don't have it in another.
Right.
And mm-hmm. there's a lot of that too. So those are the areas that, you know, that there's so much money that goes into research.
Right.
That's fantastic, but I mean, it needs to be done.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that need basic help.
Like daily stuff and just the basic.
Yeah, your insurance isn't going to cover and stuff like that. You're not going to get relief there.
Yeah, I mean, this is scary stuff, you know. Right. I mean, it's like many people go through life. They don't even understand what it's like for you guys to have a life that's disrupted like that, you know. And then it defines you, right? I mean, it defines the rest of your life pretty much.
Well, some people, you know, they have cancer and they just want to move on and pretend it never happens. And I've met a lot of survivors that are that way. And some people are like, oh, I'm going to give a little bit. You know, I'm going to give to, like, this organization and this one. And that's their way of, like, giving back.
Right.
But for other people, you know, like myself, I am dedicating my life to helping these patients.
That's
because
amazing.
I have not been able to go back to work as many times as I have tried to go back to work. I wasn't able to.
Wow.
And doing this stuff is amazing, because when you send a gas card out to a patient, and we only offer that program in Ventura and LA County, and City of Hope sends us the most of our patients for that program. When you send a gas card out to a patient and they call you up and they say, I can't even begin to thank you for this gas card. You know, like, I wish I could get more gas cards every single month, because we have to drive to City of Hope, and that's like a 3-hour drive each way. You know, the need is obviously out there, but getting those calls from those patients and those letters from those patients thanking us for at least offering them that is amazing. And I think the hardest thing for me to deal with is seeing the larger nonprofits cutting those programs. I mean, there are nonprofits out there that have cut entire gas programs, you know, reimbursement for gas, and have cut, you know, like caregiver assistance and scholarships for college and all kinds of stuff. And that sucks because now they're redirecting all of their resources and their funding to research, which is great. But that means there's an even bigger gap for those patients that need the gas cards, that need a caregiver to take care of them. You know, and Destin was talking about, like, some people have that support system. I had a great, my mom is great, okay? Uh-huh. But she was a single parent when I was diagnosed.
Wow, and this
and
stuff.
She couldn't drive me to treatments, and I was 26, and she was like, what am I supposed to do? And she's reaching out to different organizations for help, and they're like, sorry, we don't drive that far. We don't pick up in Thousand Oaks to take the City of Hope.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do when you're in that kind of situation? And luckily, we found somebody who had lost his wife to cancer, and he dedicated his time to drive patients to treatment.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
But not everybody has that.
Right. That's true. That's true. So how can people get involved, Dustin? I mean, some of the things that, you know, people are in the same position, let's say, that you are in. Or maybe somebody has a family member who's battling cancer right now. I mean, how can they get involved with the organization?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the website, www.ucan.org.
U-C-A-A-N.
Yeah, U-C-A-A-N.
Okay. U-C-A-A-N.com, is it?
.org.
.org. And go on.
They can always call me.
And they can all, and Rachel is like directly accessible all the time. So. I mean, she lives this. I'll talk to her sometimes 9 o'clock at night, and she's still at the office. Just to, I mean, you know, because there's a need for volunteer help if somebody's local in the community, the Thousand Oaks area, surrounding area, for help in the office.
We need volunteer grant writers. We really need help
grant writers.
Getting financial assistance in because right now I'm paying for the gas cards.
Yourself? From your own pocket?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Wow. I mean, so you really devoted your...
We do a lot of fundraising.
Oh, she devoted her entire...
Entire life to that. My
car.
You're like an angel, you know? An angel for people with problems, you know? That's amazing.
With
cancer. Amazing. Yeah, so you get, I'm sure you get a lot of satisfaction from that, too.
Can I tell you a story?
Sure, let me just adjust your mic because it's going down here.
It's hiding.
It's falling down here. There we go.
There we go.
Okay,
So we provide all these different programs, and all these programs are free programs. The gas cards and the fluoride trays are offered in Ventura and L.A. County only. The customized resources are nationwide. We also send out gifts of hope, like little bracelets and pendants that we send out to patients for fundraising purposes. So we have an entire fundraising program where if we can't find an organization to help a patient, we will actually create a pendant for them, send them information about how to do their own personal fundraiser, and send that stuff out to them.
Right.
So a recent story that I can tell you about is I had a woman call me on the phone, and she said, I heard about you guys from somebody, and I live in Thousand Oaks, and my husband just had a tumor removed. And she's like in her late 60s. He's in like his 70s. Mm-hmm. And she said, so, you know, we have this radiation oncology appointment. We've never seen this doctor before. We were just referred to him. We have no idea what's going to happen. You know, like when you're in the throes of that, that is scary.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what that doctor's going to say to you. And so she said, you know, we have a dial-a-ride. They're going to come pick us up. And, you know, that day I didn't have anything scheduled. And so I said, you know what? You live in Thousand Oaks. Why don't I drive you? So I went and I picked her and her husband up. Oh, my God. They were so cute. And I picked them up, you know, and he's got his walker and he gets in the car. And we're talking, and we're driving to the appointment, you know, and I talked to them about a lot of stuff on the way there, because if they're going to diagnose him with something, I would rather prepare him for the worst
case scenario. Right.
And in many cases, we get a lot of phone calls from patients that are told that they're terminal, that they have 3 months to live, that, you know, they don't have any chance to fight it, that there's no treatment options for them, and this is the big thing about UCAN, is providing that extra hope for that patient, because I was terminal.
Yeah.
And I beat it. And so, you know, I was talking to them and I said, you know, attitude is everything, and doctors cannot tell you when you're going to go because it's between you and God.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way that it is. It's between you and God. Nobody else can tell you anything else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then they were like, okay, you know, like, we're going to be fine. This is going to be a good appointment. And they had a really great attitude when we went in. And I said, and here's the biggest thing you need to change with your diet, you know, because he's like a chocoholic.
Yeah.
Is I said, you need to cut your sugar because sugar feeds cancer.
Oh, really?
Sugar feeds tumors and sugar causes inflammation. And that was something that my oncologist and none of my doctors told me.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't until my mom told me that, and I was like, okay, I'll have to change all that stuff.
No more sugar.
So yeah. I told him, and I said, but you know what? There's a great alternative. They sell chocolate made with stevia. So we'll make sure to go get some on the way back after the appointment. He's like, okay, cool. So I go to this appointment with them, and I'm sitting in this room, and I'm listening to this radiation oncologist say, okay, so they removed part of the tumor, and, you know, now I have to kind of tell you what treatments you're going to have and what's happening and what you are getting diagnosed with.
Yeah.
And when you're going through that, it's like a whirlwind, okay? And 95% of the time, you can't focus because I was there. When they told me I relapsed,
yeah,
I was like, what? I was so not there. And so I was there as an advocate for them to take notes about everything that this doctor was telling them. So he said, you have glioblastoma multiforme.
Wow. I don't know what that means.
Most people would be like, what does that mean? Yeah. Right. Stage four, it's
a horrible
disease.
So stage four is like, that's it, right? I mean,
it's really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really bad. And so, you know, like they're sitting there and they're listening to this, and I'm listening to this because I've had some survivors that have survived that disease, and I've lost some too. And so, you know, like hearing that, I was like, okay, what can I do to help them, you know? And so they heard that, and then the doctor says, I'm going to give you your options. You're going to have to go through, you know, so many rounds of this particular chemotherapy, which is actually just a pill form, and then you're going to have to go through 30 sessions of radiation to that area of your head. That's not options. Wow. That's being told this is what your treatment is.
Right.
That wasn't options.
Right.
And so when we left, you know, they were like, oh, my God, we're so glad that you were there with us taking those notes because, like, I heard half of what he said to us. And I wanted to, I mean, like, I have to be strong. I wanted to cry when I heard all that stuff. And and the doctor was like, eat whatever you want. And I wanted to, like, knock him out because I was like, why would you tell this patient to eat whatever he wants? Feel free. You know, he's going to go back and eat his sugar if you tell him it's okay to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to feed the cancer. That's going to feed the tumors. And so, you know, we get in the car. And she's like, I'm going to take you out to lunch. So we go out to lunch together, and we're talking about everything. And I said, listen, I'm going to print up this information I took. I'm going to send it to you guys so you have all the information about the conversation that we had with the doctor. I'm also going to send you some information about alternative treatments because I strongly believe that there are a lot of treatments that are out there that are alternatives that have worked for some patients. And you should be given every single option before deciding that you're going to...
Right.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, we're out of time, but so go ahead, finish your thought here. And
I mean, patients need help, but you can need help too because we need to help these patients. We're helping so many people.
Right. Well, I mean, that's amazing. So go ahead and give out the website again so people can go and check it out, get more information, get involved.
So it's www.ucaan.org, and they can call me because I don't mind giving my phone number out because if there are patients that are listening, they'd want to be able to call me directly is 805-479-1032.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Rachel Schur from UCAN.
Inspiring, your stories. Yeah. Everything. Thank you.
Amazing.
And Dustin, you know, kudos to you for everything. What do you do these days? Do you have a business or something?
Yes, actually in the electronic semiconductor business as it relates to LED technology.
Oh, really? Yeah. Cool. So do you have anything to promote? Do you want to promote anything?
No. Not really. Not at
Where
all.
Can people find you? Twitter, Facebook?
He's like, I don't want anyone to find me.
Yeah, don't find me.
Yeah, the corporate headquarter mafia will find out I'm like not working or something right now.
Yeah, there you go.
UCAN is what is important because it's changing people's lives. It's giving them the help and the support that they need. And
that's, awesome. That's well, thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
All the best. And Mia, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for always bringing great guests to the show.
Of course.
And
anytime.
I hope your Bears
they were
win.
Amazing today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go Bears.
I won't want to see you tomorrow.
Oh, I know. All right. I know. Oh, well.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mia. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.